We give that hand clap of praise to the Lord right now, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for your presence that we feel here tonight. Amen. The book of James chapter 2 tells us that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. If demons have an emotional response to God and who he is, how much more should you and I, who have been washed in his blood and filled with the Holy Ghost, have a response, amen, to his presence and his power, amen, and the fact that we know who he is. If God has been good to you, why don't you take just a moment, amen, and just worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. Thank you for your spirit that we feel in this house tonight. Thank you for your power and your presence that is in this house. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do in the next few moments, God, in the next few days. We are believing you for great and mighty things in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you and praise you tonight. Amen, amen. It is such an honor to be back at the sanctuary of Houston. It's always a highlight in my life, amen, and to worship God with you. I give honor to Brother and Sister Bourne and their family. Love and appreciate them more than they will ever know in this great church. You are special to us, and it's always an honor to worship God with you. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Very, very thankful to have my wife with me and Andrea with me. It's a rare occasion that we all get to be in service together, but I'm glad that they're here tonight. I'm glad you're here. Most of all, I'm glad the Lord's in the house. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's in the house tonight. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible tonight, I'm going to read from the 20th chapter of the book of John. Amen. John chapter 20 and verses 25 and 26. How many of you will help me preach for a few minutes tonight? Amen. I see a few helpers here tonight. Amen. God bless you. John chapter number 20 and verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, they are talking to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples came within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse number 26, there are three words that I want to use as a title tonight. The three words, then came Jesus. Amen. Then came Jesus. Would you lift your hands, your voice with me one more time? Let's ask the Lord to anoint the remaining part of the service. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing that's in this house. I thank you for the spirit that is already at work, for the unction of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that I feel in this place right now. I pray, God, that as you have anointed the singers and musicians, that you would anoint the delivery of your word, God, that we can receive what you have for us, that you would minister and move mightily in this house, that your name would be exalted, that your kingdom would be advanced, oh Lord, and your people touched. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Minister to a need tonight, God. Give healing and deliverance and victory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. We honor and bless you tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Though most of us here tonight are already aware and already know, allow me to give you just a brief backdrop of this chapter. There has been an incredible amount of events that have unfolded that have led to this desperate situation in John chapter 20, because by now Jesus has been falsely accused. He's been falsely arrested and scourged. He's been lied upon. He's been denied by his followers. He has been brought before the court. A rebellious, heartless crowd has cried, crucify him. And and release unto us Barabbas. One who had the authority to release him has said, I find no fault in him. One who tried to wash the blood of Jesus off of his hands. The wife of a wise man had said, have nothing to do with this man, Jesus. But it's gone beyond all that. People who had followed him are scratching their heads, wondering what is going to become of Jesus. The disciples who have been closely tied to him for 3.5 years are thinking that the kingdom that he has preached has not been established. It's not been set up. There's been no stone stacked upon another. Amen. And now they're wondering, what is going to be our place? How's this going to work out for us? Not only are they scattered and shaken, but the one that they love and the one they have followed, committed their lives to, has now been led to Calvary's Hill. Their spikes have been driven into his hands and his feet. Perhaps they are afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus is about to happen to them. It's possible that they're upset and discouraged and worried. The one who they have watched walk on water now ask for something to drink as he hung on the cross. The one who had multiplied the bread and fish in his hands now had those hands nailed to a tree. The one that opened the eyes of the blind closed his eyes in death as he cried, it is finished. Their leader is gone and they don't know what's going to happen, and they're gathered together perhaps in a spirit of fear and doubt and despondency and hopelessness. They're concerned, but in the midst of their hiding, in the midst of their discouragement, perhaps there is one among them that would say, you know, he did say that destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. It's been 3 days. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. The grave could not hold him. Death has lost its sting. Amen. The debt of sin has been paid, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's early in the morning as Mary and Mary Magdalene come to the cemetery to anoint his body, but there has been a change of guards. Notice, as long as his body is in the tomb, the Romans are standing guard there. But when his body is no longer there, there are no Romans standing guard, but now angels, because Romans were not going to be able to explain the resurrection. And as they approached the tomb, the angels said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for a living God in a cemetery? Let me just remind us tonight, you'll never find God in a dead place. You won't find him among dead worship and dead preaching, amen, and dead response. But you'll find him in the power of his resurrection. You'll find him when somebody's calling his name, honoring his name, worshiping his name. Can I tell you tonight, if the stone could not hold him, there is not a trouble in your life. There's not a trouble in your home. There's no chain of addiction or bondage that can keep him from coming to you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. They come to the tomb and discover that it's empty. And Mary's afraid they've taken his body. But when she returns again, amen, she's standing outside of that tomb weeping. When someone says to her, whom she thinks to be the gardener, says, woman, why do you weep? She said, they have taken his body. If you know where it is, would you tell me so I could take him away? And Jesus said to her, Mary, and she recognized the tone of that voice, amen, and she turned and said, Master, and she ran and told his disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken unto her. But we find the disciples in hiding behind closed doors, amen, thinking that it's over. The room is thick with fear and concern. He appears to them, and they relate the story to Thomas, who was not there the moment he appeared. But it's been 8 days later. They are gathered together in this room behind the closed doors. And the Bible said, and then came Jesus. Doors are locked. Amen. They're in hiding. But stepping through the wall, stepping through the barriers they have erected, then came Jesus. I've simply come to preach to someone tonight. Amen. Not anything profound, but something I feel on my heart right now. Amen. You are about to have a then came Jesus experience. I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. At this moment, you may be locked in behind walls of fear and regret and worry and uncertainty. And you're saying, where is God when I need him? Let me tell you, he knows right where you are. He knows what's going on behind the closed doors of your marriage. He knows what's going on behind the closed doors of your home and your finances and your children and your health. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's watching you, sir. He's watching you, ma'am. And he's about to step through the wall to come to your rescue. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody help me touch the throne of God in this house. Hallow, you think you'll never get out of this. You think God's left you, but there is about to be a change. You're going to be able to say, then came Jesus. As a matter of fact, he's already here, because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He didn't just step on the property. He didn't just step in the building. He didn't just walk these aisles. But God has stepped into your pew. He has stepped into your world. Amen. You're going to leave this service tonight saying, I was sitting at my pew. I was contemplating my options, weighing out what I could do, thinking it was over, but then came Jesus with healing and power and deliverance and miraculous intervention. Oh God, I feel a divine, amen, interruption and visitation of the Spirit of God right now. Well, some of you know what I'm talking about. If you're not there now, you've been there. Remember when you came to church full of fear and worry, trouble and sickness, and you started praying and singing and worshiping even when you didn't feel anything. And then came Jesus, hallelujah, with deliverance and healing in his hand. Lord, if you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you look around, you see people that are on their feet right now. They've been worshiping, amen, full of joy and peace. Let me just tell you something. Amen. We're just a group of people with past and priors that we're not proud of. We haven't always been in the choir. We didn't always preach. We weren't always ushers and Bible study teachers, amen, and Sunday school teachers. We know what it's like to be dead in sin, to be wrapped and bound by those things. Amen. But when the devil thought he had us, then came Jesus, and his blood covered me, and the power of sin and the chains were broken. The reason why that family across the aisle has their hand in the air is because they remember when they were in pain and sorrow and trouble, their back was to the wall, and the devil said, I got to down for the count. Then walking through every impossibility and every barrier came a God with divine intervention. Oh, I feel a miracle in this house right now.
You ought to take your neighbor by the hand and just start praying, come by here, Lord. I need you to come to my rescue. I need you to walk into where I am to do what needs to be done in my situation right now. Come on, let's touch the throne of heaven right now. It's not too late for God to show up. It's not too late for God to turn it around. It's not too late for him to come to your rescue, because when he shows up, everything changes. I said, when he shows up, everything changes. That's why when I come to church, the only thing I have on my mind, amen, is creating an atmosphere that will usher in the presence of God. I determined a long time ago, if I'm the only one singing, if I'm the only one worshiping, if I'm the only one praying, I'm still going to do it. I need him. I need him to show up. And if he'll show up, somebody will be here. If he'll show up, someone will receive the Holy Ghost. Someone will be delivered. It makes a difference when God steps in the room. He cannot show up and things remain the same. I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. Do you agree with me that when he shows up, nothing remains the same? I just feel to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, it's going to be different after tonight. Hallelujah. He's in this place, and your situation is going to change. It cannot encounter the presence of God and just remain unchanged. Why don't you go ahead and tell him what you need and tell him what you want, because divine visitations always produce miraculous interventions. I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Ma'am, sir, it's not too late for God to bring restoration into your home. It's not too late for God, amen, to bring miraculous provision into your home. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, amen, how far you are buried in that situation. Then comes Jesus. John 9 said, was a man blind from his birth, destined to die as he was born, wandering in darkness, but then came Jesus. Mark chapter 5 tells of a woman that grew worse, had an issue of blood, doctors gave up on her, no money, but then came Jesus walking through her city, and she touched him. We need to pray right now, the Holy Ghost. I feel the touch of God in this house. God's getting ready. You may not see God coming, but you're going to know God's been there. Amen. God's getting ready to move in somebody's situation. I'm going to take it a step further. He is moving right now. Don't worry about how long you've been in the situation, how long you've had the issue, how long you've been bound, how long, amen, the longevity of your situation does not override the power of God. God can do it right now. Do not let your calendar dictate God's capability. It doesn't matter if it's been 12 years or 38 years or 4 days. Amen. God can do it right now. Yamakayabara Sandayabahai. Come on, let's touch the throne of God. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house right now. He's about to do it again. He's about to do it again. I don't know who you are, hallelujah, but if you'll respond to the Spirit of God that moves upon you right now, God's getting ready to walk through every wall that has been raised and every barrier that has been in your way. Amen. And he's coming to reveal to you that I am who I am, just as he did to Thomas. When he saw him, he said, my Lord and my God. God's getting ready to reveal to you afresh and anew his power and identity and what he can do when you've been locked in to a dead end situation. It's not over. The doctor may be telling you it's over. The lawyer, the banker, the employer, amen, the devil may be telling you it's over. But the word impossible does not exist in God's vocabulary.
Then came Jesus. When all hope is gone, when you said all you could say, when you prayed all you could pray, when you quoted every scripture you know, hallelujah, when you cried that there's no more tears, then came Jesus. Somebody right now, the Holy Ghost is moving in your situation right now. I've got plenty of notes to preach from right now. Amen. But I feel a divine interruption and intervention of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, how bad it's been, how far you've gone, how locked down you may feel. Jesus is going to walk through every wall and every barrier. Amen. And come to deliver you. All you got to do is invite him to where you are. If you can get a hand back in the air. I know what you're saying, but I don't feel anything. I haven't seen him. I haven't felt him. But if you'll create an atmosphere, sir, if you'll create an atmosphere, ma'am, hallelujah, with your hands in the air, hallelujah, he'll bring deliverance. Healing is coming. Holy Ghost is coming. Miracle is coming. Then came Jesus. Come on, you've been wrestling with bondage, amen, and addiction. He's ready to deliver you. The marriage counselor has walked in right now to bring restoration. You've fallen, you may have messed up, and you closed the door, but Jesus is here to restore you right now. You've been standing in the gap for a family member, and from all natural evidence, it looks like they shut the door on the things of God and threw away the key. But God's going to get their attention. There's going to be a turn in the atmosphere. He's going to turn their heart back to him. Then came Jesus. I know there's some already at this altar, but there's others right now. Hallelujah. I feel a divine interruption of the Holy Ghost. If you got a situation in your life, in your family, that you need God to step into, you need God to step into and intervene, I challenge you, amen, to do what these are doing. Be in the altar right now. Let the ministry of this church pray for you. The Holy Ghost is here tonight with healing and divine intervention.